B-Pod Studios.
All right, let's get back to it. But you understand what I'm saying, Andrew?
Yeah, and you know what? I want to say this. Everybody who is a Ben Simmons supporter or believer like you and I and a lot of other people, I mean, I think it's the majority, obviously, of Sixers fans. Nobody says he's perfect. And nobody says, like, oh, he's got a jump shot like Steph Curry. Like, when we talk about Ben Simmons, we all say, yeah, not having a jump shot is kind of frustrating. But we also say, look at the other stuff that he can do. And once he develops that jump shot, he's going to be one of the best players in the NBA. And he's not going to develop it overnight. He's not. But like you said in the beginning of the show, look at it big picture. Go up in a plane and overlook 50,000 feet at Ben Simmons' game. He's got a lot of stuff that is elite. He's a very good defender. And he's a very good passer.
And even the way he carries himself. He carries himself like a superstar, like an elite player. It's just a matter of time before he becomes that transcendent player. Just allow it to happen instead of picking at it during the way. Pick. That would bug me too. If I'm checking my Twitter feed, pick. All right, be patient. John, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Johnny.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
What's up?
Calling in for the jury real quick with Brett Brown. I think one of my biggest criticisms of Brett in the past has been his loyalty to players that are detrimental to the team.
Oh, good pickup right here. I know where you're going. Like, you're going to TJ.
Like TJ McConnell. So when I look at the box score and I see 2 next to his minutes line, it makes me really happy about Brett Brown. That's something that needed to be done. And you know, 10 minutes the last game in cleanup time and 2 minutes this game. That's a really big coaching step in my mind for Brett to limit his minutes in that way. It's just TJ, but I think it's a step for Brett to do something like that.
I agree with you. That's a great point you bring up. Even to the point where, look at Tobias, Johnny.
Right.
Like, Tobias is a player that needs to get off early, right? Like, particularly with no Embiid, you got to get him into the game. You got to get him in the flow of the game. You got to get him shots. So he finally did that last night.
Yeah, and the other thing, and you know, I'm with you on the demeanor on the sideline, you know, and not reading into it, because it definitely can be misleading at times, but Brett Brown's demeanor over these last 2 games has been really meaningful to me, because last night I see J.J. Redick for the first time running around the court on the defensive end as much as he runs around the court on the offensive end to get his glory, which is a 3-point shot. He's fighting around screens that way in that game last night. And Tobias is grabbing 16 rebounds, and Ben's hustling the way he is. So whatever he said at halftime of game 2 and
that's
the way
true.
He's more animated on the bench,
yeah,
is working, and it's big to see. And with Ben, you know, what we saw last night is why guys like me and you are patient with this kid. We live in Philadelphia. We live in the kingdom of work ethic. Work ethic is the mayor of our city. And if this dude has a work ethic, they can win a championship if he works that hard every night. It's so plain to see, you know, and it's beautiful to see. And I hope he's learning. He's obviously learning that, but if he works that hard, and God, if he gets a shot, it's over. Like, it's really over.
Yeah, you know what? I wish the one thing that you get from LeBron, because LeBron, he worships LeBron, right? One thing that LeBron's always been an incredible worker, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, whether it's his body, with his game. Like, I hope that he grows into that.
If Ben works hard, and if Embiid works hard on his health, there's no way we don't win a championship. Embiid needs to drop 20 pounds and take that stuff more seriously.
Yes,
and
you're
we're
right.
in. You know,
I got one parting thing for you. Great stuff, John, as always. And when you think about Ben and working hard, just remember one thing: women weaken legs.
Yeah, it's
right?
true.
LeBron was married, right? Like, LeBron was married, man. That was a big deal.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, you're not chasing.
So women, women and Fortnite as well.
Yes. Johnny, great stuff, buddy. Classic, classic. Yeah, another one of our chores, but this guy has been MIA up until now. Coach John, where you been, man?
Baby, I was traveling game one, and you guys were a little busy after game two. You had everybody calling. I couldn't get through.
Oh, all right. All right. It is tough to get in. I feel you.
So, juror number eight is a little on the fence right now. Let me give you the quick rundown after the first three games. Game one, obviously, I'm not going to load on because everybody already did. Game two, the offense started coming together. I liked the way they were playing, but they still didn't make any defensive adjustments. And remember, I had three things I was looking
for. Well, third quarter they did.
Yeah, but what about the first half?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Third quarter, they came out, and then they played great defense third quarter. They fought through picks.
One of the things we talked about is not switching on every pick every time and altering the defense, which they've done much better
yes.
the last three halves of basketball. So you check that box, I'm good with that box. Number two was the adjustments between games. And between one and two, I didn't see the adjustments, but between two and three, definitely saw the adjustment without Embiid. And what I really loved was the fact that he had Butler bringing the ball up. He was switching around the offensive flow of the game. He kept the bench pretty tight, although one of your callers said earlier, Jimmy Butler in the last 3 minutes of that half, what are we resting for at this point? They're not playing back-to-back. Jimmy Butler should be playing 45 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Harris need to be playing 40-plus minutes.
Yeah, I agree. 40-plus minutes, yeah, you're right.
So I think he still is loose with the rotation for playoffs, and I know it's the Nets, but we had no Embiid last night. We could have taken an 18-point lead, and we had Ennis and Scott taking three-pointers in the last 4 minutes of that quarter. We could have had Harris and Butler in the game, and they never even come close.
Yeah, listen, you're right, but don't you think that's we're nitpicking a little bit?
The reason I'm nitpicking is I'm looking into the future, and I'm hoping that he realizes that the playoff rotation is much, much tighter. Obviously, TJ's not playing now and a few others. But you got to keep this thing tight. You got three studs out there.
Yeah.
Run them. These are young guys, man. They're the best athletes in the world. They don't need to rest during the game for 10, 15 minutes. They should be playing 40-plus minutes. You got to keep adjusting the defense because, look, we all said that if they could get a flow going in this series – that can get them some continuity going in Toronto, then we got a good shot. And right now you're starting to see it, so we want to keep the momentum. I wanted to touch on Ben Simmons. And what my biggest fear, Ant, is, you know, Philly fans can scare people right out of town. And I think we got to get on the bandwagon. This guy, like you said, is a transcendent player. Sure, he needs work. I mean, if you look, he played a great game yesterday, and then at the end of the third quarter, he did one of the silliest things I've ever seen. We had 18
seconds left. I know. I saw the same thing where he rolls the ball. I think he thought it was there was a decimal between the one and the eight. That's the only thing he could come up with. I don't know why he would do that.
Yeah, but that's Brett Brown, too. Can't somebody scream to the bench, yo, we're going one shot. We got 18. You can dribble the ball in the front court. You got 18 seconds. Yeah, so that was every once in a while Simmons does that, but that's going to come with time. Next year, he won't do that. And as he gets more experience, he's going to make better decisions with the ball. Once in a while, you know, he gets a little – he's so good that once in a while he thinks he can get a little lackadaisical, and that's where people get frustrated.
Yeah, but you can't get frustrated. But that's the hallmark of a 22-year-old.
100%. So that's my point. We can't push this guy out of town. Yeah. He's going to be a free agent. He's got a girlfriend that lives in L.A. He's got
I don't think they're together, but I like your sentiment. Get on the Ben bandwagon. That's good, Coach John. I'll put that out there to the people. Thanks, brother. Get on the Ben bandwagon. Why don't you make that a poll?
Put one up. Now, I have some concerning audio that I'm going to get during the break.
Oh, no. Oh, no!
Remember when Terry Rozier was on that show with Kristen from FS1 and said that Joel Embiid was a clown?
Yes.
So, Landry Shamet was a guest on there. And before one of the games, because he's a rookie, before one of the flights, they made him go get everybody's
food. Hold the thought. Hold the thought. We'll get to it on the other side. Oh, no. I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Am I going to like this?
No. And it has to do with one particular player's order. and how much he got.
Okay, relax, relax. Oh, I know the story. That's part of it. We'll get to it. That's the Chick-fil-A thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. AB, we talked about that. We'll get to it. It's actually interesting, and we'll hit it out to you guys. It is the midday show. Oh, man. It feels good, though, after a wait, I got to tell you. I just want this thing to go on and on and on. I'm not ready for, like, a second round exit to the Raps. I love this team. I do. I just love the. I love watching them play. 610-632-0975 is the number. That's how you reach us. Let me tell you about Parks Casino. Home of Cousins Corner, my sports book of choice. We were there last night hanging out. The crowd there is awesome. Always a great spot, the sports book. Andrew, you got to check it out one night. People coming in, watching the game, doing all their stuff, having a lot of fun. Come check it out. Is the sports book at Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. They got it all, and point spreads and parlays and money line futures, you name it, the sports book at Parks, they got it. Now, here's the deal. Parks also has an app, and it's the Bet Builder app. So you go in there, you can see the lines, check the lines any time of the day, whatever. And you can bring your cell phone, and you can actually have them take the bet off your phone. It's you build what you want to play for any of the games, and it's good again at any of the three locations. You have Oaks, PA, right off 422 in Oaks, Pennsylvania. You got South Philly, Packer Avenue, Shadows of the Stadium. Going to the game, you'd be a regular like Tunis. You're a regular at the South Philly Racing Sportsbook, aren't you?
I may make a few stops here and there.
I heard all about it. Make sure you go to Parks Casino, PA's number one casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
O'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, 11:23. It is Good Friday for those people that are Catholics, like myself. So I was, as a kid, Good Friday was always a solemn day. And I don't know, Andrew, what denomination you are.
I'm Catholic.
So, you know, it's interesting. When you were, I don't know if you had the same thing, but I went to Catholic school, right? So, Good Friday was always solemn, and then you're always off. But when you were home, between noon and three, you had to be quiet. Did your mother ever make you do that?
No.
Like, you couldn't talk between noon and three.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like when Jesus was on the cross. So, it's okay. Like you couldn't speak. And the only reason why I bring it up now is because I started thinking about that. I was remembering as a kid growing up, and you can't talk between noon and three. It would be kind of difficult for me to not talk between 12 and three.
Well, I mean, we probably have some old tapes we can play. The last 2 hours of the show, get out of here.
I could do 2 to 3.
I think the bosses are cool with that.
No, that's all right. No, I think God's all right with me rapping with the peeps. I think he's cool with that. I'm a believer of kind of my own kind of way. All right?
I hear you.
I kind of adapt certain things. I'm very spiritual. You know, I mean, listen, I love the Catholic faith, and my kids go to Catholic school, but I kind of mend it to my own ways.
You got your own beliefs.
You know what I'm saying?
It's sports talk. You just debate with the big man upstairs. That's all.
No, but even certain things. Like if you're, you start to feel, well, if you're truly repentant on something about something, then you are. There's no, you don't need to say it, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we got Mark Jackson coming up at 11:30. So I'm looking forward to Mark. Mark does a great job, man.
Yes, he does. I'm a big fan of Mark Jackson.
So am I. He's a, you know, more Philly, tempo. He played the league. I love him.
You want to hear from Landry?
See, you notice that's why I was talking, because I was kind of hoping you'd forget.
I didn't forget.
Because I know this is going to annoy me. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
How much Chick-fil-A can Joel Embiid eat?
Man, I think, so his order, so I got Chick-fil-A for the whole flight. And then Joel had his own, like, separate order. So his was, like, 4 sandwiches and I want to say a couple fries and, like, 4 cookies and cream milkshakes. It was, like, kind of absurd. I'm like, Joe.
And he ate that on the plane?
It was crazy, yeah.
Oh, that would make me sick.
I know. I don't know how he does it.
4 sandwiches, couple fries, 4 cookies and cream milkshakes. Yeah, but I'm, he needs to take better care of himself, but, you know, I mean, big guys are going to eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
You know.
He's not an elephant. Come on, man.
Yeah, but, you know, Shaq, Google Shaq, which Shaq had his own personal chef, you know. Like, he had this renowned chef, and all he ate was, like, what was it? Club sandwiches and Sprites. Google Shaq's diet. You want to hear a diet?
Yeah, sports science wasn't the same back then.
All right. I got, later on, remind me, okay? This is the greatest. Remind me. You know who Hunter S. Thompson is?
Yes.
Okay. So I have his daily intake. All right? I read this not too long ago, and it was a typical day of what Hunter S. Thompson would ingest. You got to remind me to read it to everybody.
I'm going to guess more than what Joel Embiid took on that one plane ride.
Yeah. Yeah. The illegal substances alone are outrageous. You got to, don't, and Google the Shaq's. I'm telling you, that the Shaq was renowned for this. He would have, like, I don't know, 8 club sandwiches and, you know, 14 Sprite, like something ridiculous. He's that big.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't think that's out of line. You think that's out of line?
4 chicken sandwiches?
Nah.
4 milkshakes?
I don't think it's out of line for that kind of guy.
I don't know.
He's a little big.
He misses 2 games and then all of a sudden he balloons.
I know. I hear you. I get you. Jason in Atlanta, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Yo, cuz, it is so great that Mark Jackson is coming up, because when I played, I was a short, kind of slow, kind of chunky point guard who didn't have all that much speed, but an incredible passer, and I love to post up even though I'm short, and he got Mark Jackson coming up. I hope
you were like Pearl Washington.
I guess so. But I finally got a day off, so I absolutely had to call the coach.
My
birthday coming up, so I had to do the license and registration and all that. You know. So I had to do the license and registration and all that stuff, but I also had to call the cuz, though.
Thank you, brother.
Also, yeah, it was great to finally meet you at Andy's Diner, and I truly do appreciate you not kicking out my cowboy wife.
You're a good man, brother. You were a good man. And look, she not, you know, even in her fairness, she's not from up here.
Right.
So I let her slide.
She's pretty close to Texas. That's the only reason.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. She's pretty close to Dallas. It's the only reason me and my family accepted.
Yeah.
It's the only reason. I told her that many a times. You'd get the boot.
It was great to meet you, by the way. Beautiful family.
Same here. I remember back when Ben was during his training camp, summer camp, before he got hurt. And I remember I asked you, do you think he's going to change the game, I guess, as far as like, are there going to be 2 guards that are like 6'10", both in the backcourt? And I think Ben is going to change the game. And I think he's going to really revolutionize everything. You may not see it until the next generation, but I think there's going to be a lot of 6'10 point guards because of him. And I'm like, if you got someone like that, and someone who can score 31 points without taking any jumpers, I'm like, how much more can you really ask at this point?
Yeah, and you know, you look at the game, the way the game's played, and everybody's, you got to shoot threes, you got to shoot threes. Well, the lesson, now look, I mean, J.J. hit his threes, and I'm not saying the threes don't have a place in the game, but look, you don't need him to be a combo guard like James Harden for you to win. That's what you're saying, and I agree with it.
All right, and just the last thing, I got to go to the first time they came for the Hawks, even though they lost, but I got to take my niece to her first ever Sixers game. I got her the Red Simmons jersey for that one, and that was her first game. And then just coming up, the first time the Phillies come for the Braves is Father's Day, so I'm taking.
Beautiful, brother. Listen.
And then,
yeah.
And the Eagles are coming. So
that's like, right. Week two, you got birds. Awesome, brother. Listen, you have a happy Easter. God bless the family, man.
You too, man.
All right, brother. All right, listen. On the Comcast Business Highline, he's terrific. You got to watch him, NBC Philly. You got to watch him. Him and the coach breaking it down. They do an amazing job, pre, post, halftime, whatever it is. You got to go check out the great Mark Jackson on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mark,
what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm great after last night. After watching Ben, after watching Ben Flex, I just want you to go and wax poetically about what you saw from Ben Simmons last night.
He was aggressive, man. I mean, so that's been the take on Ben for 2 years now, you know. Or he sometimes come out really aggressive. Sometimes he's just kind of passive, going through the motions. But I guess, you know, Dunley's comments kind of fueled him, and he just went all out and just brung the heat. He, from the start, he had in his mind that he was bringing it, and he was bringing it all night. And he played with a ferocity that is expected of superstars to do all the time. So if he wants to live up to that name and coach call him a super, he has to do that consistently, not only when somebody talks trash to him.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he did it two games in a row. I was just talking with people, Mark. I think some of it is he's in his second year, and it's just the maturity, right? He's got to grow, and I think, and you could talk about this better than anybody. Isn't the mark of greatness when you can do that on a consistent basis?
Consistency is what separates true superstars from just all-stars. The ones that can do it consistently no matter who's guarding them or what's the title of the game. You know, Ben has to do this, but it's once again. This is his second year.
Right.
And because of his interviews, because of his maturity, we forget that sometimes. Sometimes we think he's a 8 or 9 year player.
Yes.
Just because because he just fools us. Because he's so mature. We have to sometimes take a step back and acknowledge he's young. He's young. He's going to make mistakes. He's not fully finished. He's still preparing to be molded.
Ah, you're so right. You're so right. Great Mark Jackson with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mark, what do you make of Brett? And what do you think the job? Ever since we talked about it, halftime of game two, where they really came out motivated to play defense. They actually also look like, he looks like he's implementing a plan. Like I thought Tobias needs to get off early. And I thought he ran some plays for Tobias. He was able to get Tobias shots. And I kind of liked what he's done in the last game and a half.
I agree with you. You know, Brett did a wonderful job with the chess match. And that's what it is. It's a constant chess match between both coaches. And Brett Brown has made some adjustments. Last night he came with this new pick-and-roll set that let them wide open layups and got Tobias off as well. And it was beautiful to watch. You know, Brett Brown gets a lot of heat because no matter how he does as a coach, no matter what's his record from now on, everyone just remember he was here when the team was losing. So Philly fans will always have in their mind, Coach Brown's a loser because he was there when he was losing. So we just got to sit back and enjoy the moment. But he's making some moves to increase the win percentage for the 76ers. And you gotta call it what it is. He's winning the chess match so far.
Yeah, and listen, I come into it, And I saw deficiencies before. I'm not going to lie. I hated game one. Sometimes when it comes where I think he's challenged as the strategist against certain coaches. But I like what he did with the rotation. He's limited T.J. McConnell. Look, T.J. just can't be on the floor and during a lot of these matchups. And I thought he's handled that situation, his rotations, a lot better, Mark.
You know, I think I will say this. I was surprised when he took T.J. out the rotation because T.J. is Brett's guy. So that showed me maturity from the coach as well to move on from what he's done in the past and to evolve into something new. Having Jimmy Butler run the point when Ben's down the floor is a beautiful thing to watch because now you got a guard who people have to respect, who people have to fear is going to score from all three facets of the game, three mid-range and layups. So I really like that. And I think that I really thought that caught the Nets off guard. I really thought they expected TJ to come in and get his 20 minutes. And with him not in the rotation, I thought it threw the coach off and the Nets off.
Yeah.
Having to deal with a point guard, a backup point guard, and Jimmy Butler, who's a scoring guard. And I really thought that caught him off guard. I was proud of Brett Brown for that decision.
I'm so with you. We're talking to Mark Jackson. Make sure you watch him. NBC Philly, terrific. He and the coach, Jimmy Lynam, breaking it down, breaking all the Sixers stuff down. So what do you make of Embiid? We talk a lot about it, and I'm hearing he's probably going to play Saturday, tomorrow. But what do you make of it? What do you make of, people talk about he might be a little thick because of the inactivity. What's the future? He's so good, they just need him on the floor. What do you do?
I think it's a waiting game. I hate to say that. I think it's a waiting game, and you just got to take what he can give you now. And go as far as you can, and then in the off season address the situation. How do we best resolve this tendonitis issue? And respectfully, a lot of times the tendonitis, the only thing you can do is extreme rest.
Yeah.
So we're talking 3-4 months of inactivity, of complete no pounding, which means he goes into the off season not having time to work on his game. But I think right now, you have to take what's given to you from Joel. If he can go tonight, you take it. If not, you live with it. And do you limit his minutes while he's playing? That's another thing. You got one of the top five talents in the league who are game time decisions in three matches.
Yeah.
I'm scratching my head that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. So the Sixers are coming into it like, what are we going to get? Can we get it? He's definitely in. I don't think at all, no game has he gone up to the 15, 30-minute mark before the game, and the coaches don't know if he's going to play or not.
Yeah.
So if you do the math there, that's bad for business to me.
Yeah.
So I really think they have to resolve the issue at hand. Get Joel Embiid right for now and take what he can give you. If he can go Saturday, then play him Saturday. If he can't, then live with him and go with the other rotations. But if this team expects to make a run for the Eastern Conference Finals, Joel has to be playing. Without that, there's only but so far they can go.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. How do you handle the rotation with the bigs if he's not available? Who do you like matchup-wise? I mean, Monroe hasn't played a lot and looked like he was very slow last night. Boban, of course, is tough because he's so bad defensively, even though he's got a touch on the other end of the floor. How do you handle the big rotations?
Here's my thing. Everybody speaks of how bad a defender Boban is. Oh, Boban can't defend the pick and roll. Well, every time I watch Boban, he's been effective. He's been instrumental. Every time he's been on that floor, he's been destroying people. So we can say, well, he's not good on. Man, I don't want to hear that. Until you stop him, until you don't have to adjust to him, then he's as effective as any player you want on your team. Because the team has to adjust to him. He's been so lights out. He's been blocking shots. He's been altering shots. He's been rebounding. He's been scoring. He's been an unstoppable and unmovable force. So until teams can stop him, that's what I'm riding with. I'm riding with him getting a lot of
minutes.
So
you're riding Boban.
Greg Monroe to me, he was here all of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And to me, offensively, he missed some easy ones, but he had double-digit rebounds. So I really thought he was affected. Him and Boban was 23 points to 21 rebounds.
Yeah, no, that, so listen, from
big.
Yeah,
I'll take that all day.
What about what about Bolden? I wanted to see a little Jonah Bolden. I felt last night.
I did too. And for him not to get the starts, that kind of kept me perplexed.
Yeah,
I was really taken aback by that because I was like, "Oh man, this guy's been very instrumental in their success when Joel's been out."
Yeah,
and every game he's played, he's beginning producing more and more, and he's starting to hit the open 3-point shot more. So I was very surprised that they didn't go with Jonah Bolden, but with 23 and 21 from the other two bigs, I don't expect Jonah getting in that rotation anytime soon.
No, you're right. Now, do you think the Celtics Pacers go 7? You said that last night. So you still think we got...
Their question was, which Eastern Conference series I think is going to longest? And as long as you can go with 7, so I have to pick one, I'm picking that series. Because Indiana had a chance to beat Boston for game 2.
Yeah.
They're leading that going the whole time. To the last 4 minutes, they start missing shots. But for me, I really think the Pacers is hard. They're hard to put their finger on. They lose Oladipo.
Yeah.
They get Matthews.
Yeah.
And win.
Yeah.
The bone is stepped up. I mean, they just find a way to.
Nah, you're right.
And it's like you can't put them away. They like cockroaches.
Yeah.
They just keep coming. You know, I mean, really. I don't mean that as a. No.
I know, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, like, really. Like, yeah, I know Boston, like, how do we get rid of this team? So now they got to go to Indiana, and I really believe Indiana's hard to beat in Indiana. So Boston's a great team, but they got Marcus Smart out. Kyrie Irving is doing Kyrie things. I just really think Indiana would get 2 at home, and I think there's still another one in Boston. I really do.
I like it. I like it. Mark, listen, always great catching up, man. You're the best. I love watching you. You and Coach do a great job, man. Keep it up.
Thank you very much for being on with you.
Always a pleasure, brother. There he is, the great Mark Jackson, NBC Philly. He's the best. North Philly, Temple, the Association. He's like, to me, he's like a consummate Philadelphian.
He's driving down Broad Street.
Yeah,
in the middle of the interview. It's great.
I do. I love. That's a man to my own heart.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's driving down Broad Street.
That's probably a dirt bike going by him.
I love it. 610-632-0975. We might have to do the Chick-fil-A challenge, you know. Now, could you do...
The milkshake I can't do.
You can't do 4 of them?
No.
How many is the most you can do?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Those things fill you up. I wonder if
4
he gets the large.
Shakes.
Does he go the large?
I'm sure he goes large. What do you think? He's going to go small?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, we'll dissect on the other side. I may have to do a challenge for the next couple hours of the show.
I could do the 4 sandwiches.
You could?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. Is it open today?
That's a good question.
Find out if it's open. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us, midday show. I'm Cuz. That's Andrew. Birds fans, listen up. How about this? This is going to be awesome. We're going to the game in Miami. December the 1st. All right, I want you to join me. We're going to be hanging beachfront hotel, soaking up the sun, enjoying beers, whatever you want. Whatever you want. While everyone at home dealing with cold Philadelphia weather. That's right. It's the away game trip of the year. Trust me, you want to be there. And our friends at Philly Sports Trips has made it really easy. Just go to phillysportstrips.com. Check out our trip to Miami. Now, the guys who run Philly Sports Trip, they're just like you and I. They're great. They're 4 for 4 guys. Huge Philly sports fans. In fact, I met one of the guys, Bob, yesterday. What a great dude. Bob Cavanaugh. Met him yesterday. Big time. He loves sports travel, just like us. So you got to check it out. And yeah, he actually does the catering. And it's outrageous. Cavs catering. So, look, there's a private 4-hour afternoon cruise. They got all kinds of direct flights, beachfront hotel, parties. You got to do it, man. Cruise around South Florida the day before the game. It's going to be at the Margaritaville Resort. Right off on the beach, Hollywood, Florida. We'll have a blast together. Go to phillysportstrips.com right now. Reserve your spot. That's phillysportstrips.com. Can't wait to hang with you on the beach in Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.53 to go in the ballgame. They inbound. Oh, they throw it right to Ben Simmons. On to Jimmy for the jam. Game three is headed for the Sixers. 127-110 as Brooklyn turns it over.
Hey, there's one mystery. Does anybody know this? I didn't see post-game if someone had asked Ben about the end of the third quarter, where he rolled the ball. There's 18 seconds left. So, you know, you're going to take the last shot. He rolls the ball to not get time taken off the clock. And then he rushes and he turns the ball over. Now, I don't know if he thought there was 1.8 seconds, not 18 seconds. But you remember this sequence?
Yeah, now I wonder, maybe he thought he would catch him off guard.
But it doesn't matter. It's going to be 18. You want to take the last
right.
shot. Doesn't matter about taking off guard. What are you going to keep him off guard for? For what?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks they're going to think that I'm going to hold on to it till the final shot, and then let me try to push it.
But that's incorrect to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's not the smart play. I'm just trying to think of what was going through his head.
No, I didn't know if you saw anything out there.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Did you see it? I don't know if I missed something on Twitter or whatever. Was he asked about it? Because it was mystifying. Evan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ev.
How you doing there, guys?
What's up, brother? What's up, Jordan?
yeah, so I wanted to talk about Boban last night. I mean, if you look at, the net rating stuff, the net rating data on the NBA website, he actually had the best, most efficient game of any Sixer last night. He had a net rating of 47.4. You know, versus Greg Monroe, who had a negative 18.3. So, like, the fact that they're starting Greg Monroe over Boban should be a crime. Like, an actual criminal offense.
Yes.
Just because of how far superior of a player Boban is over Greg Monroe. And now I know, like, the issue...
I know Mark loves him, but guys go around him, Boban. I agree with you with Monroe. Monroe's got lead feet. But you see that Boban is really deficient defensively.
Well, I mean, according to numbers last night, he was.
Oh, come on, not about numbers. Watch the game. I mean, you know that. I mean, I hate numbers. I hate when people quote numbers because a guy blows by like a Boban and misses the layup, it doesn't come into numbers. But you could see he's deficient defensively. He's got slow feet.
I agree with you with that. I mean, he's 7'3". You know, how many 7'3" guys can really move?
I mean, that's what makes him be the freak.
Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, Boban should be getting the majority of those five, you know, even with those defensive concerns, he should be getting 5 minutes, or the five-spot minutes when Joel's off the court, not Greg Monroe. Greg Monroe should see, like, garbage time at best.
Yeah, I'm a Bolden guy, or I can go Mike Scott. I mean, you like Boban better than I do. I'm not a big Boban fan.
Well, that Jonah Bolden lineup, when they have Joel, Jonah.
The Monstars, yeah.
Yeah, that lineup is, if Jonah can defend it slightly better,
that lineup would probably
be lethal.
Yeah, that'd be a lethal you're right lineup. On, brother. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree. So what do you think, man? What do you think of Brett? What do you think, where's your head at with him?
Right now, I mean, I think talent's just winning the series right now, so I don't think Brett has... Now, what he did after game two, you know, if you... Like, anyone that's able to put a little bit of fear into Mike Scott, now that's something, right? Mike Scott, like, he's the cold-blooded killer. So, you get the hint. So, I definitely liked when I heard that. But, I guess, you know, after game one, I think Brett's coached a solid series and has taken advantage of all the talent he has, so... You know, all he's got to do is close out the last two games and, you know, move on to, I guess, Toronto, right?
And that would be the determining series, correct, in your eyes?
Yeah. I mean, in order to really judge Brett Brown, his performance in that series, you know, how much he's grown as a coach.
I agree
from
with you.
Boston last year up to Toronto, like, who, I guess, what would be Toronto this year, you know, would be that kind of gauge to see where he's at.
I agree. I think it's a really good assessment. Evan, good job, my brother. All right, happy holidays to you. It's excellent work. Mike in Willow Grove, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Michael.
Hey, what's going on, cuz?
Yo, Mike.
Hey, so last night with their defense, actually, with Boban, he's pretty much equivalent to, like, the center position of a T.J. McConnell. You know, plays a certain role and all that. For him to play the amount of minutes he was playing last night, I think it's kind of tough for him. I think it might wear him out in the playoffs, so I'd like to kind of see him hopefully around, like, the 10 to 12 mark, if we could. But obviously,
yeah, I agree. I think you're right.
You know, but I mean, Monroe, he is what he is. We all knew it wasn't going to be anything much, just the body. But surprisingly, he played fairly decent. Defensively, he's weak, but, you know, whatever. But I don't know, last night with the pick and roll, I was actually surprised. They played fairly well, I thought. And I heard Mike Dawson say that. But I was really surprised to see how well they were playing that for the most part. Like, I just wish, like, when Dinwiddie would come in, like, somebody would just foul him hard. Like, not, like, in final, but, like, to send a message, like, this is all in pain, you're not coming into it. Like, we don't have that.
Yeah, there's times where the defense, kind of their defensive strategy befuddles me. It's like they're trying to funnel them to the middle.
Right.
Like, I understand, like, that's where help comes from and all, but, like, You just can't be a matador. Like, you gotta get in front of your man.
Yeah, exactly. So the tough part is, though, it's like, it's perfect with JJ, who's like the modern day, like, Rip Hamilton, always moving around without the ball now. You know, but Ben just needs to, like, honestly, just like they said, I heard you guys say it before too, parts of the paint, they're gonna give you 7 to 8 feet, get that head start, you know, like, do that if you're not gonna shoot the jump shot. But overall, man, Ben looked like a bad at it.
He was a badass. Yes.
Yeah, man, he's a bad. I'm not worried about him leaving, though. You know, like, everybody's like,
I don't worry about him. I'm not worried about it either, Mike.
You know, they're worrying for no reason. The jump shot will come with due time, but I was hard on him at first, but, like, you got to take a step back. It's only his second year. It's going to come with due time where he's going to shoot. Like, it's okay. He's 22 years old. This is scary what we have on our hands.
That's right.
Couple years.
That's right. Thank you, Mike. I like it. Thanks, buddy. Patience. That's all I ask. I wanted you to sign a contract. All the haters yesterday gave you a chance. I want to give you another chance because I don't think it's healthy to hate and want to be right. See, the problem what we have in today's sports fandom is that we want to be right so badly that even if it comes at the expense of our own best interests, we root for that result. And that's not good. That's not healthy. Put the pride aside. Listen, I'm guilty of it at times. But, look, I put it aside when it came to Foles and Wentz, because I was a Wentzman. And, look, we got to put the pride aside sometime. Look at Simmons for what he is. And appreciate where he's going.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.